Greetings from Studio 47 at Augustana University, and welcome to Alone Together, a storytelling initiative highlighting and documenting how our university community navigates living and learning through a global pandemic. I'm your host, Joel Gackle, the Senior Director of Alumni Relations at Augustana University.
Today I'm chatting with Dr. Corinne Gansky. Dr. Gansky is an Augustana graduate of 1972 and lives in Des Moines, Iowa. As a physician, she practices family medicine, teaches, and is the former program director for Iowa Lutheran Family Medicine Residency. She's scheduled to retire in July. Well, Dr. Gansky, thank you so much for joining us today. We really do appreciate it. When was the moment that you knew that COVID-19 was serious and it would have a potential impact on your life and on your work?
Oh, boy. It's been gradually evolving for several weeks, but probably wasn't until February in which it really started to become real. And then the middle of March, it was like, oh, this is really a problem. So that's not that long ago.
Was there a particular case or a particular moment in March where you thought, oh, wow, this is going to hit Des Moines also?
Well, when we saw it coming from both coasts, I think that was a sign that it wasn't here.
So how has it impacted your morning routine, your routine in general?
I still get up and go to work at the usual time, but what's happened is that we are trying to do all of our visits by telephone so that we don't expose our patients to risks unless it's absolutely necessary. So during the day, what I'm doing is a lot of telephone medicine, a lot of chart reviews and trying to make sure that we've got all the right treatments and the medications to the right people. And then half of my time is spent teaching. So the residents are trying to learn how to do this with people they don't know very well. And so it's just totally changed our whole day.
Being in family medicine, I think myself, I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and they just tend to pick up different things, and it's as typical colds happen. So what happens for the parent of a young child who now might have an ear infection, but they don't want to bring them in? How does that change the work that you do?
Sure. So, you know, what we do is that we take telephone calls. We encourage everybody to call before they schedule an appointment or come in. And we go down a list of questions. If we think that they can be treated over the phone, it's a child who has recurrent ear infections and the mother can give very predictable type of answers, we will occasionally treat over the phone. But if it is clearly not COVID, and it's important for them to be seen, we have them come to the office. And the healthy people, we try to see first thing in the morning before the cleaning is... it's been contaminated, and then make sure that we don't see people who are really at risk after the middle of the day.
So what's the greatest struggle that you carry right now?
You know, I have stepped down from some of my duties. I'm still working full time, but I'm not going to the hospital to make rounds. And so what I worry about is my partners who are going back and forth from the hospital to the clinic and spending long hours in the hospital, their exposure is going to be significantly higher. And clearly healthcare people get a higher dose of the virus because of what we do. And that puts us at higher risk to get the serious side effects. The residents are also used to, you know, doing a lot of the legwork in the hospital, which puts them at really high risk, and they are working long hours and they're not getting paid very well. So, you know, we have to be careful that we're not overusing them and putting them at risk.
In this season, I think there's plenty of worry. We all feel it. What brings you some hope right now?
Well, I guess I kind of grew up being basically an optimistic person. I feel like I grew up in a family that just taught us that things would be okay. I think that, you know, focusing on our patients is something that's always helpful for most medical people, is we're there to help them and we're going to do the best job we can. Trying to look past it and say, we're going to learn something from this. This is going to be, you know, a sentinel event in our lifetime. And hopefully things are better afterwards. And I can imagine several levels in which I think things could be better from this.
You'd mentioned kind of growing up in a family with hope. Have there been different skills or different practices that you've used in times where it felt overwhelming in medicine to keep yourself centered and to to continue that hope?
Absolutely. I think growing up in a faith-based environment, and of which Augie clearly promoted and helped mature, I think that that's always where I find myself going to. But specifically, I find that for me, prayer is more music. And so I find that tunes start going through my head and they just stay for a while and it just lingers and it kind of becomes a prayer of its own. And it's just kind of a God thing, you know, just feel like, oh, this is a message. The last 2 weeks I've had this song going through my head that I was thinking about, and it's Marty Haugen's song, Healer of Our Every Ill. And it's a song about sorrow and healing, and it's just very calming.
You've mentioned that you're not doing rounds in the hospital like you were before. Are there any ways that you are trying to protect those around you, recognizing you're still going out of the house, you're still working with residents, you're being exposed in a different way? Is there anything that you're doing to try to protect your loved ones in this time?
I mean, this is one reason I think I respond a little differently than my partners, which is I have a husband who is also in medicine, and I have nobody else at home because my kids live in different states and we are communicating by FaceTime. I'm wearing a mask when I'm at work. As of this week, we're wearing it all of the time, and we're wearing a surgical mask when we're with patients. The only thing I'm doing besides going from the clinic to home is going to the grocery store once a week for the whole week, and I'm there for 30 minutes, and I go with the list, and I stay away from people, and I come straight home and wash everything. You know, it's not that I'm paranoid about everything, but I think being careful is how we prevent passing it on.
In your life prior to this, What do you miss from your routine, from the things that really brought you energy and joy and life?
I'm an introvert, and coming home at the end of work and being quiet in the evening is something I enjoy, which makes this maybe not as difficult as it might be for some other people. I miss church choir. I miss a couple organizations that meet in the evening that I really enjoy because of their mission. I miss going to church on Sunday morning and singing.
What's something you want the rest of the world to know about your life right now, about something that's unique in what you're doing?
I'm getting ready to retire, which is really an interesting process all by itself. My letter goes out to my patients next week. I'm handing off little bits of everything that I'm doing to people who are going to be there after me. And I imagine the last 3 months of working being kind of seeing everybody for one last time, and you know, the isolation is not going to let that happen. Like a lot of physicians, my patients have gotten old with me. I've been in the same clinic for 36 years. Wow. I really have enjoyed teaching, and I've enjoyed the neighborhood that our clinic is in, and have patients who've been my patients the whole 36 years. And so I just envisioned that saying goodbye to be part of what I would be doing.
And I imagine with that, there was probably plenty of people that you wanted to hug and wish them farewell. But who in your life right now, whether it be your children or someone else, who do you really wish you could just give a hug to right now?
Well, that's easy. My mother turned 90 last week, and she spent it alone. She lives in Sioux Falls, actually, and she is in a senior apartment complex. They're serving them at their doors, and she's in the apartment by herself. She gets lots of calls. She can't see well enough to get FaceTime, so it's only audio calls. You know, everybody's trying to communicate, but you just would like to be there.
Well, Dr. Gansky, thank you so much for connecting with us and sharing a little bit about your life. We really do appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for listening and for doing your part to flatten the curve and stop the spread of coronavirus. As we close out our podcast today, enjoy this musical offering from the Augustana community to center and inspire you. Until next time, stay safe and stay well.